In this verse, pure love of God is being described. Srila Sridhar Swami has described this spiritual situation as samprapta prema lakshana bhakti yogasya samsarma dharma titam gatim, or a perfectional stage of life in which one's devotional service to the Supreme Lord is enriched by ecstatic love. At that time, one's spiritual duties are entirely beyond the scope of worldly affairs. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 78, there is the following statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dharya harati nari khailam unmata hasi kandi nachi gai yoiche madamata. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately approached his spiritual master to ask him why he had apparently become mad by chanting the holy name of Krishna. His guru replied, Krishna Nama Maha Mantra Eka Swabhav. Ye Jape Tare Krishna Upa Jaya Bhav. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 7, text 83. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada has commented, these symptoms are very prominently manifest in the body of a pure devotee. Sometimes when our students of the Krishna consciousness movement chant and dance, even in India, people are astonished to see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. As explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, actually this is not due to practice, for without extra endeavour, these symptoms become manifest in anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has warned us in this regard about the ungodly sahajiyas who imitate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in an unauthorized way, neglecting the standard injunctions of Vedic scriptures, foolishly trying to make the position of Krishna as Purushottam, foolishly trying to take the position of Krishna as Purushottam, and thus making a cheap pass of the exalted pastimes of the Lord. Their so-called ecstatic symptoms like crying, shivering and falling on the ground are not to be confused with the advanced features of devotional service described by Sridhar Swami as Samprapta Prema Lakshana Bhakti Yoga. So the Prabhupada comments in this regard, one who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. Similarly, Krishna Das Kaviraj states, Panchama Purushata Premanandam Rita Sindhu Mokshari Anandaya Nahe Eka Bindu. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, love of Godhead, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, karma and moksha appears like a drop in the ocean of the sea. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 85. As already stated in the previous verse of this chapter, Gayan Vilajo Vichare Asangaha. One exhibits the ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead when he is asanga, free from all attachment and material sense gratification. The word Loka Bhayaha in this verse indicates that a pure devotee on the platform of prema, love of Godhead, is not at all concerned with ridicule, praise, respect or criticism from ordinary people in the bodily concept of life. Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and when he reveals himself to a surrendered servant, all doubt and speculation about the nature of the absolute are vanquished forever. In this connection, Sripad Madhvacharya has quoted a verse from the Varaha Purana, Kichit Unmadavad Makta Bhoyaninga Pradarshakaha Kichit Antarabhaktasyu Kichit Chaivo by Atmakaha Mukha Prasada Dhar Yatscha Bhaktir Geya Nachanyataha. Some devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms, acting like madmen. Others are introspective devotees, and still others partake of both natures. It is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth that one's devotion can be judged, not otherwise. In other words, a devotee can be jumping up and down and, you know, acting in a mad, like a madman, or he can be very quiet. But neither of them are necessarily the measure by which you can determine whether they're a devotee or not. In fact, there are plenty of madmen who are actually not devotees at all, as we've witnessed.
We'll get back to that.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given a very nice example to illustrate ecstatic laughing and other symptoms of love of Godhead. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him! Keep him away! Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly Gopi, Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy, but suddenly he can no longer see Krishna, and then cries in great lamentation. Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands. Thus the devotee cries loudly, Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer. The Lord answers, My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you. Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, Today my life has become perfect. Thus overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also notes that the word drutta chittaha, or with a melted heart, indicates that one's heart, melted by the fire of anxiety to see the Lord, becomes like Jambu Nadi, a river of rose apple juice. The Acharya further points out, Nama Kineta Nasya Sarvokarsham. The present and previous verse clearly distinguish the exalted position of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, chanting and hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emphasized this by quoting, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Deva Kevalam, Kalo Nas Keva Nas Keva Nas Keva Gatir Anyatha. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress but the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. In his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 76, Srila Prabhupada has given an elaborate explanation of this verse. Is there Adi Lila 776 over here? Adi Lila 1? In that, or it might even be in volume 2, actually. Chapter 7, shortly more.
On chapter
7. Just, yeah. That might be not one of the questions, but just one of chapter 7 say. You have to look inside. Usually.
It's in chapter 7, yeah.
Chapter 7, yeah, okay. Count it over. Top one. Okay, that's very normal. Prabhupada's also written a long purport of this verse somewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. It's certainly mentioned. Anyway, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that we study the following verse in this connection. Let the Garas populace say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground and dancing in ecstasy. Pajavali, text number 73. This is a nice purport. This is Prabhupada's
third point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita text 76 of chapter 7 of the Adi Lila, which is this verse: Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva E, Nasjeva Nasjeva Gatira Anyata. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative for spiritual progress than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. In this verse, Prabhupada talks about worshipping the deity. Interesting. For progress in spiritual life, the Shastras recommend meditation in Satchayuga. Sacrifice in a satisfactory fashion of Lord Vishnu in Treta Yuga and gorgeous worship of the Lord in the temple in Dwapara Yuga. But in the age of Kali, one can achieve spiritual progress only by chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is confirmed in various scriptures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many references to this fact. In the 12th canto, it is said, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Muktasana Param Rajet. In the age of Kali, there are many faults, for people are subjected to many miserable conditions. Yet, in this age, there is one great benediction. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can be free from all material contamination and thus be elevated to the spiritual world. The Narada Pacharatra also places the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as follows: Trayo Veda Shadangani Chandamsi Vividha Suraha Saram Astak Saram Tashtam Yatschanya Apivan Mayam Sarva Vedanta Sararta Samsarar Navataranaha. The essence of all Vedic knowledge, comprehending the three kinds of Vedic activity, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. The Chanda, or Vedic hymns, and the processes for satisfying the demigods is included in the eight syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Eight syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Eight syllables. What must be the full mantra? There's just there's only a portion of the mantra. It already contains all of that. This is the reality of all Vedanta. The chanting of the holy name is the only means to cross the ocean of nescience. Just a supporting statement. Huh? Similarly, the Kali Samparana Upanishad states, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These 16 names, iti so kam nam nam. Kali Kal Masha Nashanam. These 16 names composed of 32 syllables are the only means to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. Kali Kal Masha Nashanam destroys. In all the Vedas it is seen that to cross the ocean of nescience there is no alternative to the chanting of the holy name. What's the message that we're getting here? That's not the message. What is the message?
The only way of going back to Godhead is by chanting.
Sorry?
The only means of going back to Godhead is by chanting.
When?
In the Kali Yuga.
Yeah, in Kali Yuga. The only means. What does that mean? There's no other way. Yeah, just in case we're wondering. Is. Similarly, Sri Madhavacharya, while commenting upon the Mundaka Upanishad, has said, Dvaparyaya Janair Vishnu Pancharatras Chakevalam Kalo Tu Nama Matrena Pujate Bhagavan Hari. In the Dwapara Yuga, one can satisfy Krishna or Vishnu only by worshipping him gorgeously, according to the Pancharatriki system. But in the age of Kali, one can satisfy and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, simply by chanting the holy name. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, verse 284, Srila Jiva Goswami strongly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name of the Lord as follows. There's a very, very long section of Sanskrit prose that I won't read. So the Jiva Goswami states that the substance of all the Vedic mantras is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Every mantra begins with the prefix Nama Om and eventually addresses by name the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the supreme will of the Lord, there is a specific potency in each and every mantra chanted by great sages like Narada Muni and other rishis. Chanting the holy name of the Lord immediately renovates the transcendental relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord. To chant the holy name of the Lord, one need not depend upon other paraphernalia, for one can immediately get all the desired results of connecting or linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It may therefore be questioned why there is a necessity for initiation or further spiritual activities in devotional service for one who engages in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The answer is that although it is correct that one who fully engages in chanting the holy name need not depend upon the process of initiation, generally a devotee is addicted to many abominable material habits due to material contamination from his previous life. In order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, it is required that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple. The worship of the deity in the temple is essential to reduce one's restlessness due to the contamination of conditional life. As Narada in his Pancharatriki Vidhi and other great sages have sometimes stressed that since every conditioned soul has a bodily concept of life aimed at sense enjoyment, to restrict this sense enjoyment, the rules and regulations for worshipping the deity in the temple are essential. What does essential mean?
Must.
Yeah, of the essence. Integral. So Rupa Goswami has described that the holy name of the Lord can be chanted by liberated souls, but almost all the souls we have to initiate are conditioned. Hands up, all of the liberated souls here. It is advised that one chant the holy name of the Lord without offences and according to the regulated principles, yet due to their past bad habits they violate these rules and regulations. Thus, the regulated principles for worship of the deity are also simultaneously essential.
Interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Swayamrupakadamahiyam Vidatitvapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Nam Gayate Girim Yakripatamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinataranam.
these verses underline the importance of chanting. And also illustrate our good fortune. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that the purpose of studying the Vedanta and the Vedas is to know Him. Matasmiti, Jnanam, Apavanam, Cha. For me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Savasti Chaham, Vidhi Sani Vishto, Matasmiti, Jnanam, Apavanam, Cha. Vidais Cha Savaya Raham, Eva Vidyo, Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham. By all of the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedas and the knower of the Vedanta. So the whole purpose of studying the Shastra, and you know, there are many items of worship listed in the Vedas. Worship of the demigods, chanting of various hymns and prayers, different ritualistic sacrifices and performances and so forth. There are many prescriptions in the Vedas. And the Vedas take into consideration the needs of all of the different individuals. And that's why there's so many guidelines and so much variety for everybody, even the worship of the demigods and so forth. And of course that illustrates the need for spiritual guidance in one's life. In order to understand the purport, the ultimate purpose of the Vedanta and the Vedas, one needs a spiritual guide, a spiritual teacher. Otherwise the study of the Vedas can be totally confusing. In fact, there are many statements in the Vedas which appear to be contradictory. You can take a point from one place and you can take a point from another place, and the two contradict each other. In fact, you could do that with many of Srila Prabhupada's statements. You know, there are statements where Prabhupada says we shouldn't dress the deities in black. Well, they're wearing black today. But there are other statements where Prabhupada says any colour is okay. They have to reconcile this. You need to have some, you need a little bit of intelligence, a little clear thinking. And also you need guidance, practical guidance on how to apply all of these different prescriptions. And one of the advantages of the benefit of having a spiritual master, a spiritual guide, is that the spiritual master is able to assess the character, the nature, the degree, if you like, of covering of the spirit soul. And it's not very difficult. You know, we can analyze a person's character. We can see, generally speaking, people fall into four categories of ashrama and four categories of vana or activity. So we can look at a person's nature and character fairly easily and then help them apply the process of devotional service or help them apply the process that's going to be effective for them in making spiritual advancement. And so the spiritual teachers or the spiritual guides know how to apply the principles according to the person. Kala, Desha, Patra, time, place and circumstance. So we look at the person, we look at the situation that they're in, and then we apply, you know, like the doctors just don't apply, you know, the same prescription to everybody that comes in with an illness. Oh, I'm feeling well. Oh, okay, here you just get the same prescription. Although it's very interesting here, we have pretty much the same prescription for everybody. The end result of all of our preaching is, well, anyway, chant Hare Krishna. That's our prescription, pretty much, for everybody.
But
we do apply it differently for each individual, depending on their ashram, depending on their occupation and so forth. Each person applies the process of devotional service according to their capacity. But the spiritual master or the spiritual guide knows the end result. The end result is that we should become Krishna bhaktas. Or, well, a devotee of Krishna, actually more than that, that we become a lover of Krishna, effectively. And the point here is that if a person applies themselves to the chanting of Hare Krishna diligently, is one of the reasons why Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to recite the 10 offences to the chanting of Hare Krishna every morning, so that we would understand the science of chanting. You know, chanting Hare Krishna is easy in one sense. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Who can't do that? Nobody can't chant Hare Krishna. They may not want to chant Hare Krishna, but they, you know, unless you're so unfortunate that you're a dumb person. But even in Mayapur, I've seen devotees who can't speak chanting. Quite aside. Not making any noise, but they're chanting. Sincere devotees. So, everybody is recommended to understand, everybody's encouraged to understand the science of chanting, especially to avoid the 10 offences. Yeah? And to follow the regulated principles in order to be effective. But that's the real, the effective process for making spiritual advancement in this day and age. What is it? Krita? What is it? Krita? Dhyayato? Krita? Yeah? Krita? I can't remember the first word. Dhyayato Krishna. That's proper. Paraphrases that verse. Tretayam yajya makai dvapayam parichajayam talakhado. What can be achieved in the Kriti Yuga by meditation, what can be achieved by sacrifice in the Treta Yuga, what can be achieved by worship of the deity in the Dwapara Yuga, can be achieved in the Kali Yuga simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Kalo tat hari kirtanat. That's it. Kalo tat hari kirtanat. So, the chanting of Hare Krishna has immense power and potency. It has full shakti. Lord Chaitanya says, Nam nam akari bahudaha nija sara saktis tatapita niyamataha smarane na kalaha. So, the chanting of Hare Krishna has all of the potencies of Krishna himself. Krishna has presented himself in the form of his name. The Prabhupada gives the example of water. You know, you may be very, very thirsty, but no matter how much you chant water, 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 you won't quench your thirst. Because water, the object, and water, the name, are different. But if you chant Krishna's name, because Krishna is non-different from his name, then he's personally present in the name. And one who chants Krishna's name is actually associating with the Lord directly. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is dancing on the tongue of the devotee. So therefore the emphasis is on smaranam, kirtanam, especially those two activities, and of course those two activities are contained within the chanting of Hare Krishna. We should simultaneously chant and listen very attentively to the sound of the mantra, and then automatically what happens is we'll remember Krishna. It will just happen as a natural consequence. So long as we avoid the 10 offences, that's why that information is given and why we should study and understand it very clearly. It's like cultivating the right mood or the right attitude, because the 10 offences outline the type of attitudes that we should avoid in our practice of devotional service. So it's a subtle science. The science of mental conduct, if you like. Not having a critical mentality of others, fault finding, right? Is an activity that's avoided by the devotees, by those who have divine qualities, we're reading the other day. Apaishanam. They don't find faults in others, for example. That's the first offence in chanting Hare Krishna. Although there's a fine line between criticizing others and recognizing a thief. Right? Prabhupada says it's okay to call a spade, call a thief a thief. Right? But unnecessarily criticizing. So this is a mentality. It's a state of thinking, if you like. So along with the chanting, we also have to cultivate this mental practice, if you like, mental good habits. But one who is able to chant Hare Krishna without offence, then for them advancement is practically guaranteed. Don't have to do anything else, but simply chant. Sometimes devotees become incredulous. How could it be possible that such a simple thing can make us so advanced? Such a simple thing, right? How hard is it to sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare? Pretty easy, right? One might wonder then, why aren't we all rolling around on the floor in ecstasy? If the chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent and powerful, why aren't we all just, tears flying from our eyes and shivering and trembling? What's wrong with us? Well, this is why we have to keep hearing the 10 offences. What's the last offence? Maintain material attachments, even after hearing so many instructions. So, one of the problems. We're conditioned. We're in conditioning. And that's one of the reasons why Prabhupada makes this point here about, and it's mentioned in the purport to that Harinam, Harinam Nivakivalam verse, that we need to worship the deities. And Prabhupada says also that's essential. Right? The chanting of Hare Krishna and the worship of the deity to counteract this conditioning that we have and to speed up the process of purification so that we can access the holy name very quickly. The worship of the deity is, and you'll see it's interesting in Prabhupada's preaching. Wherever he went, he established deity worship in temples.
Sometimes we've noticed people going,
why did Prabhupada do that? It's such a burden. We've got to worship the deities all the time.
But Prabhupada understood the mentality of his disciples. He understood the mentality of everybody, really. And why that was essential. Because the rules and regulations that are connected to the worship of the deity support our effective chanting of Hare Krishna. Because they introduce principles of punctuality, principles of cleanliness, you know, regulations basically of activities that are really in the mode of goodness and very purifying. But ultimately, all of these things are meant to support one thing, and that's the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's the real practice, if you like, of advancement or of making spiritual progress in this day and age, is the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada is, you know, Prabhupada mentions that there's two paths, there's the Pancharatriki Vidhi and the Bhagavat Vidhi. Pancharatriki Vidhi is the rules and regulations that are prescribed for the performance of deity worship, of initiation, and all of the different practices that we perform in our daily devotional life. Just rising early in the morning and cleaning our bodies and cleaning our teeth. And it's interesting in the Archana Padati, which was the first deity worship manual that the devotees translated from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. You know, the first things that are described in that book is, you know, how to clean your teeth. Right? You know, the acharyas were said, you know, Kali Yuga was progressed enough for them to see, well, we have to teach people how to clean their teeth first. Right? Or establish a principle. And Prabhupada mentions this point, you know, that certainly one of the qualities of the of the divine, those with the divine qualities, is, or one of the characteristics, is that they clean themselves. They keep things very clean. Right? So there's this emphasis on external cleanliness. You might think, well, what's you know, nam nam makari buddha nija sava shakti just chant Hare Krishna. And certainly you can just chant Hare Krishna. But because we are so conditioned, then we need to do more than just chant Hare Krishna. We need to do all of these other supportive activities so that the chanting of Hare Krishna has the best chance to connect us with the Lord, with Krishna. So that eventually what happens is the devotees, you know, we're chanting very diligently. And it requires effort. Chanting properly requires constant practice, determination, you know, all the qualities of devotional service. Utsahan nishchaya dharya tattat karma pravartana. Enthusiasm, determination, patience. Yeah. Tat tat karma. Actually, interesting, Rupa Goswami says this point too. Tat tat karma pravartana means following all the rules and regulations. So you have to follow all of these things strictly with a great deal of determination, with enthusiasm, so that we can connect through the chanting of Hare Krishna. So all the other things are required to get us to that point. Then, when we connect with Krishna, then all sorts of things start happening to us that we couldn't imagine in our wildest dreams. Huh? So when we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're actually connecting with the Lord in His name, then we become amazed. You know, I remember when I first came to the temple, first day or the second day that the devotees
you know, Acharya Rupa and I went to the temple for the Sunday feast, and then the lady said, "You should chant Hare Krishna." I said, "Well, I already know how to chant Hare Krishna." So, okay, here's your beads. You should chant 16 rounds on the beads. That's what we tell people, isn't it? I said, okay, if I can do that, I know how to chant, I should be able to chant. So we sat down the next morning, got up early and started chanting. Then the next week, we came back to the Sunday feast, and the devotees, I told the devotee, whoever it was that was preaching to me, might have been Sikhi Butcher, he said, "You know, are you chanting 16 rounds?" I said, "Yep." He said, "Okay, if you're chanting 16 rounds, that means you should get up in the morning and come to Mangalati." Okay, that's what you've got to do. For some reason or other, I was very serious about chanting Hare Krishna. I don't quite know why, but anyway. And I remember the first or second time I was chanting in the temple room with the devotees. And then all of a sudden, I just felt this, you know, everything just disappeared. Except for the mantra. And all I was doing was just listening to the Maha Mantra. And I thought, wow, this is it. What they told me was true. That this is amazing. I just felt totally, you know, elevated out of the material world. And it was probably just for a few seconds I was listening to the mantra. That was what it was. Probably, you know, something probably happens all the time to the devotees. But anyway, I just felt totally exhilarated by the chanting of Hare Krishna. And that's just right here, you know, for the devotee who sees or associates with Krishna, he becomes automatically enthused. So that he laughs and cries and dances and rolls on the floor. Because as is mentioned here in this purport, you know, you see people in India who do these things. You see these guys, you know, they dress up like gopis and they have peacock feathers coming out the top of their head as well. So, whoa, what's wrong with it? Got a flute tucked in his... You know, look at it. He's got lipstick on. Is this Krishna or Gopi or what is he? Crying. Carrying on. It's interesting. Interesting to say the least. And you know, sometimes the devotees would see people would come to the temple and then they would roll on the floor and cry and groan and moan and carry on. And the devotee said, "Prabhupada, what's going on here?" And Prabhupada said, "Just kick them in the head." Kick them in the head. And if they don't notice anything, then they're on the transcendental platform. But yeah, you get all... So, you know, this chant, as I mentioned before, you know, this chanting and rolling around and all of that sort of thing, that's not necessarily a measure of a person's advancement. Because Prabhupada was saying, you know, you see that they go outside and then they're smoking a biddy. So, you know, as that verse is quoted in the purport, the steadfastness of a devotee and what they say, there's the real measure. You know, he may be crying or dancing or carrying on. We used to have, at the Sunday feast, we used to have what we call the ecstasy crew. The ecstasy crew. And they'd usually be jumping up and down and chanting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol," the loudest of everybody. Then they'd always fill up their plates and take it home and then go smoke dope with their friends. The ecstasy crew. Whereas, you know, the steady devotees, you know, you may be ecstatic at the Sunday feast kirtan. for the rest of the week, totally indulgence. But, you know, for one who is actually making advancement and actually making progress in their spiritual life, and you see that they basically steadily serve Krishna. And gradually the symptoms of advancement manifest. And within those symptoms, one develops this very firm attachment for Krishna. This stage, as Gangashara was mentioning the other day, this stage of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti is manifest after one has gone through the stage of anatta nivritti, which means that material attachments and material desires have become completely dissolved and eradicated through the practice of devotional service. Now, the interesting thing is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, as mentioned by Rupa Goswami, sadhu sangha, nam sankirtan, bhagavat shravan, worship of the deity, so the association of the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities and residing in a sacred place. These activities have such potency that even for a person who is not a pure devotee, so a person doesn't have to be a pure devotee, for these five activities, these five processes to have an effect on a devotee. And that's why, you know, we are very fortunate in that we can feel a connection with Krishna, even though we may not be at this stage a pure, a Shuddha Bhakta. Because these five activities have been endowed with great potency by the Lord to bestow prema on a devotee. That's why when we have kirtan, for example, then sometimes in the kirtan we just feel totally oblivious to anything and everything. Anybody experience that? Anybody? And that's what you see it actually. You see that kind of you see it on Harinam when the devotees are thoroughly absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna and they couldn't care less who was around. Right? And they're dancing and enjoying themselves thoroughly. Then everybody else around also catches the same thing. They're also enjoying it. Start want to chant and dance and carry on. Right? You can see it. Very powerful. This feelings of prema or love for Krishna is contagious. So you see it sometimes. People see the devotees and they just spontaneously start chanting and dancing. They get in the mood. And of course, in the devotee, like last night, there was that guy with the red hair. And he had the earrings stuck to his lips. And even last night we weren't really firing, to be honest, in our kirtan. But still, the potency of the holy name is very powerful. So, in the chanting of Hare Krishna, one has to be very determined. Following the rules and regulations, worshipping the deity, doing all of these things, because that supports this, and you know, avoiding the offences. You know, the process of devotional service is a combination of all of these items put together in such a way so that it increases the momentum of a devotee's chanting. And it requires effort. It doesn't happen just... It can happen just like that. Krishna can be very kind and just give it. But usually for most of us, that's, you know, you're very fortunate if that happens. But for most of us, it's sadhana, bhakti, that brings us through the different stages In fact, that's Bhajana Kriya, right? Adore Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, which means the practice of devotional service. You know, when Guru Govinda Maharaj used to visit, he would ask us, he would say in Orissan, you know, I don't know what he said, but he would, I'd ask him, what's the translation? He said, how's your bhajan? This is the greeting of the Vaishnavas. How's your bhajan going? How's it going, mate? Or at least in Vaishnava terms, how's it going, mate, is how's your bhajan going? How's your chanting going? How's your worship of the Lord going? This is a little measure of and that is determined by how much we add all of these things into our daily activities and how much we're actually following Krishna's instructions, say in Bhagavad Gita. Trying to see Krishna within everything. You know, always thinking. Manmana. Krishna says, my devotee always tries to think of me. So we have to always try to think of Krishna, some way or another. So by following the various items of sadhana bhakti, brings us through the stage of anatta nivritti, which means that unwanted things automatically dissipated, dissolved, or avoided because of the full engagement in devotional practice. And of course, you know, the basis of that, the support of all of that, is the chanting. In one sense, or the, you know, the real engine room, if you like, of our spiritual advancement comes through the chanting. But that's supported by all of these other activities that we perform. So when we put all of those things together, then our ability to connect with Krishna, or shall we say, not that we're connecting with Krishna, actually it's Krishna's revealing himself to us. We think we're doing it, but actually we're not doing it. When we think we're doing it, then we're in trouble. One has to have this, you know, very humble kind of approach to Krishna, so that Krishna can reveal himself to us. When we think we're doing it, then we'll never do it, actually. That's the mood of a demon. What is it? Ahankaram vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Right? This is the mood of a demon. Vimudha. He thinks he's the doer. So, by chanting Hare Krishna, by fully engaging in our sadhana practice of devotional service, then we can connect with Krishna. And then when Krishna reveals himself very mercifully in the form of his name, then we can experience the melting of the heart, and the tears will come to the eyes, and we'll feel great attachment for chanting. You know, that's the stage where you're chanting Hare Krishna and you don't want to stop, right? Usually, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're looking at our beads or something. No, I thought I already chanted so many rounds and I've got so many more to go. Well, you know, Prabhupada, he mimicked a devotee chanting. When he finished his rounds, he then threw his beads down and said, now I can do anything, anything I want. Or words to that effect. But, you know, when a person is really chanting Hare Krishna, then they don't want to stop chanting. It's so attractive and so tasty, relishable. So, in order to do that, one has to be steady, nishtha, right? Then comes ruchi. When we have a taste for chanting, then the detachment starts to come from material things. Full detachment, asakti, which is a preliminary stage. of purification. But full purification is required for a person to be fully and constantly situated on this stage of prema bhakti. We're fortunate because these five items of devotional service open up the, you know, they sort of open up the windows into the spiritual world. And every now and again we catch a glimpse and we go, oh, this is it. That's what I want. But because we're conditioned, then we, you know, the window closes, apparently it closes, it's actually still there. In fact, you know, if you see, it's interesting, if you see in the pastime of Narada Muni, you know, he performed his meditation and so forth, and then the Lord revealed himself. But then he disappeared. And Narada Muni was begging the Lord, well, you know, why did you go? Why did you leave me? And the Lord says, just to enhance your love and affection and your desire to have me, I'm not going to reveal myself again this lifetime. Interesting. So Krishna reveals himself, but in order to attract the devotee further, to attract them to give up the things of the material realm. So it's Krishna's trick. Krishna's tricking us. He's attracting us, and then he disappears. Oh no! Where did he go? Well, chant your rounds. Get up early in the morning. Have the Mangalarti. Study the Bhagavatam. You have to do all of these things to make spiritual advancement. You know, spiritual advancement is not a cheap thing. The sahajas make spiritual progress cheap. That's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur preach very vigorously against the sahajya philosophy. Devotional service is not a cheap thing. Whilst it can be just given to us like that, that's rare. It has to be worked towards. Yet, in this day and age, it is such a simple thing that has been made very easy for all of us. So the simple activity of just chanting Hare Krishna, which is just basically, you know, blowing air out of your lungs, right? And everybody breathes. Very simple activity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any of these points?
Example is given that when you enter in a room which is closed from the earth, and then you start cleaning, apparently it seems clean, but when you start cleaning you can see uncontaminated. Now, at one stage, particularly for myself, I'm saying that I see that, you know, that crooked mentality and that all contamination I have. Especially in offending devotees, offending holy name, dham. So that dust gives me feeling that, you know, better leave this room, and otherwise you will be killed.
You
know.
You'll be what?
You will be killed or
killed.
Become unhealthy, you know, better leave this room. But that's not the ultimate solution, otherwise that room will remain unclean.
Dirty.
Yeah, dirty forever.
Yeah.
So in this stage, you know, how
cleaning stage.
How should we gather enthusiasm and stay fascinated?
To keep cleaning, especially when it seems so dirty.
Yeah.
Well, here's the trick that I've noticed is we chant Hare. What was the question? He said, that's a good question. Good question. What is the question? he said that, what did you say? He said, here's how I understood the question, whether this is the question or not. that when you chant Hare Krishna, then you commit offences, various offences. And it appears as if the process of chanting is going to be a very long one or a very difficult one, because there's so many things that have to be cleaned. Right? There's so many things. And so therefore you feel like going away from that.
Yeah.
Is that right? You feel like not chanting.
Yeah.
Or you feel like you're not going anywhere.
Or maybe that offences will, you know, destroy you.
Or the offences may destroy you. Yeah.
Correct.
But here's the thing, you know, here's my experience. When you chant Hare Krishna, you feel greatly enthused and purified one day, and then you think you're a pure devotee. But then the next day you discover all of these offensive characteristics in your behaviour or in your dealings with others or just in them. So, you know, we struggle with this. This is anatta nivritti. We're struggling with the stage of giving up unwanted things. So, you know, when you mentioned, as soon as you started speaking, I thought of the, the pastime of the cleaning of the Gundicha temple, where Lord Chaitanya encouraged the devotees to come and clean. And they were cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and they got mountains of dirt. Took them out. But then he went back in again and cleaned some more and found more dirt in the cracks and in the crevices and in the, you know, more inaccessible spots. So the example being that we need to clean and then we need to go back in and clean again and keep cleaning. Another example that Prabhupada gives us, you know, he says our hearts are like lumps of coal. Right? Have you ever tried cleaning a lump of coal? It's just always black. So, you know, we have to be diligent and determined, and we have to keep at it. And some days we'll be better at it than others. But gradually we're making progress. Each day we're chanting. We destroy more simple activities than we can even commit, practically speaking, by the chanting of Hare Krishna. So it does require determination. And will be tested. So sincerity is also required. And intelligence is required. Not just sincerity. You know, there's a story of Guru Raj, not quite related, but similar. Guru Raj Maharaj went to Prabhupada, final days when Prabhupada was unable to leave his bed. And Prabhupada said words to the effect, you know, promise me that this movement will go on. You know, how will it, you know, I want this movement to go on. Because Prabhupada didn't want all of the work that he'd done destroyed, especially by his disciples. And Guru Raj Maharaj said, if we chant 16 rounds, follow the principles and are sincere, then we'll be successful. And Prabhupada thought about it some time, and then Prabhupada said, sincerity and intelligence. So sincerity is not enough. We have to be sincere, definitely, but we also have to use our intelligence. Intelligence means discrimination. We have to work out this is good, that's bad. And then we have to remove the bad. That's the hard part. Because, you know, we're attached, we're conditioned and we're attached to things. And sometimes the things that we, you know, are causing us the greatest grief are the things that we hang on to the most. So that's where intelligence is required. We need to understand, I'm not doing this correctly. And Krishna will keep reminding us. Krishna will keep bringing us to that point. We'll come to the realization, time and time again, I have to work on this element of my character in order to make advancement. So better that we don't go away, because that won't, see, that's the other thing. Going away or stopping the process doesn't make progress at all, right? The only problem is that when we're making progress, it looks like we're not going anywhere. But Prabhupada gives the example. You know, if you're flying in a 747 to Mumbai, right? And you look at it, a plane, it doesn't look like you're going very fast. It doesn't look like you're going anywhere at all. You're sitting in the plane for 7 hours and there's another seven to go, and you're thinking, oh God, how long is this going to be? Stuck in this stupid plane for 7 hours, we've got another 7 hours to go. And you look out and say, I'm not even going very fast. But this is Maya's trick. Try hopping out of the plane and see what happens. You'll realise how fast you're actually going. So we're like that. We're chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, we're making rapid advancement, even in this lifetime, rapid advancement. And, you know, if you stop, then, you know, you'll realise, actually, or if you're fortunate, you realise, actually, I was making progress. Even though it was painful, and even though I was being challenged, and even though it is difficult, that those challenges and those difficulties are, in one sense, the measure of our success, because it means that we're moving, we're going forwards. We're realising these things. And that's desirable, actually.
So what you're saying, sincerity doesn't perseverance.
Yes, well, yes. Enthusiasm, determination, patience. But perseverance is there also, yes. Same. Perseverance is a form of patience, because it means keep on keeping on. Yes.
I was just thinking about
they're both required. And it's a given that we've already got the Guru's mercy. We've already got that. And that's why we're chanting. The Guru has already given us his mercy. You know, sometimes the devotees want to get their Guru's mercy. Well, the first thing they can do is follow his instructions. That's the mercy. Sometimes we think, you know, the Guru's going to come and sprinkle some magic, you know, magic bhakti dust. And we're all going to make advancement. Well, that's possible, but it's extremely rare. You know. So, you know, has the Guru given us his mercy? Are we getting the Guru's mercy? Yes, you're getting the Guru's mercy when you follow his instructions. Right? So that, we've actually got that bit. There's one way of looking at it. You can look at it another way. There's one way of looking at it. Actually, you've already got the Guru's mercy by following his instructions, the teachings. We've got the association of the devotees. That's Krishna's mercy, actually. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagati kutopi. We make spiritual progress by following the devotee's instructions. But we've got the devotee's instructions by Krishna's grace. So it's Krishna's grace and the Guru's mercy. Basically, we've got that. So the two go together. And then when we combine the mercy that Krishna's already given us, the mercy that the spiritual master's already given us by Krishna's grace, into the practice of devotional service, then the two combined together start to work on us, start to purify us. So they, and that's where we've given the opportunity to engage in devotional service, and we take it. And then as we make our way towards Krishna, then Krishna makes his way towards us through that process. Prabhupada, you know, tells the story that his father told him, you know, Lord Vishnu's got 10 arms. Now with your 2 arms, what can you hold on to? Right? He can take away everything that you've got with his 10 arms. But by the same token, if you make steps towards him, then he's going to give you more with his 10 arms than you can hold with your 2. So, you know, as we make progress towards Krishna, then Krishna will give himself to us through that, you know, that following of the order of the spiritual master. That is the mercy of the spiritual master. This is the mystical practice of devotional service is described in the verse Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. So here's the magic ingredients for us is approaching the spiritual master in a humble mood, approaching the devotees in a humble mood, approaching Krishna in a humble mood, inquiring submissively, what shall I do? And then when Krishna tells us, most often through the agent, you know, Krishna doesn't personally tell us, but Krishna tells us through the agency of the spiritual master. I read a very nice letter the other day. Prabhupada said, there's Krishna the master and Krishna the servant. And we take instructions from Krishna the servant. That's the spiritual master. So when we follow the order of the spiritual master, so we approach submissively, we inquire, then we get the, here's what you should do. Then we should do it. Now when we do that, then Krishna says, what is it? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena seva upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshanaha. Those who have seen the truth can reveal it to you. And that's the method by which it's revealed. It's a mystical process. We hear the instruction of the guru, we take it submissively, and then we actually act on it. Then Krishna reveals himself. So that's when we make that step, then Krishna will reveal. Gradually he'll reveal himself. So the two go together. We get the mercy, we then take advantage of it, then Krishna starts to reveal himself. The more we take advantage of Krishna's instructions through the agency of the Krishna the servant, the spiritual master, the more Krishna will reveal himself. So that's why, you know, Prabhupada quotes a number of verses where he says, you know, the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. And many, actually even here, in previous verses, Kavi, is it Kavi who's speaking here?
Yes.
Kavi. Kavi says, you know, Guru Devatatma, that the disciple makes the guru his own self. Or in other words, yeah, basically, makes the guru himself and Krishna. So his mentality is, I take on the mood and the instructions and the desires of my spiritual master as myself. Then, you know, that's real, if we can think like that. Instead of thinking, oh my guru master, it's time to do this, oh boy. I have to admit, I have that mentality sometimes. Or the devotees tell us to do things. That's not what I want to do. Then, you know, when we're thinking like that, then Krishna restrictively, you know, shuts the doors, if you like. Of course, mind you, we have to be careful. That's why we generally, you know, we take shelter of an authority system and structure so that we serve practically and realistically. You know, there's a nice quotation that Harisari mentioned once was that, you know, everybody's servant is nobody's servant. So it's not that we can be the servant of everybody, otherwise you'll go nuts. Because everybody will tell you do this, do that, do the other thing. Right? So that's why we generally, you know, serve under the guidance of this person, serve under the guidance. Lord Chaitanya did that. Lord Chaitanya instructed, say, Raghunath Das, serve under the guidance of Swarup Namadhar. So So Lord Chaitanya exhibited that this is our system. Our system is not, you know, necessarily we have to directly serve our guru, the person who initiates us, put it that way. And that's why we have siksha gurus. Our system has siksha gurus. So that's the system. The system is we have a siksha guru. It may be our temple commander or the brahmachari ashram leader or the brahmacharini ashram leader or the head pujari or whatever. But we work under those, under the guidance of those devotees. And when Krishna sees that, then he says, my devotee is serving the devotees. And of course Krishna says, that's how you please him. If you want to please me, then please my devotees. So when we do that, then those two things go together. Our effort and Krishna's mercy. They combine. And, you know, there's the story of Mother Yashoda not being able to bind Krishna by two fingers worth of rope. Right? Those two fingers represent those two items. Our endeavour and Krishna's mercy. They go together. And if they're not, there, then no progress, basically. But my suggestion is we've got already got the mercy, but now it's our endeavour that's the bit that needs fine tuning, you know, the tinkering with. How's that sound? Under control, Aditya? Yep. We had a party last night. There were a few people out of control. We won't mention anybody's names, will we? Hey? Okay. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.